Welcome back to another episode of the Startup Operators Weekly Roundup. The Weekly Roundup is a show for people who want to stay updated with the major developments within the Indian startup ecosystem. If this is the first time you're listening to the podcast, please do consider subscribing and share it with folks who you think will enjoy the show. In this week's episode, Roshan and I will be talking about how the world's second largest crypto exchange went bust and what an amazing week it has been for the Indian space sector. We have ISRO coming up with reusable rockets, and we also have a private entity that will be launching its first indigenously developed rocket. On the other hand, Pocket FM has surpassed a $25 million ARR, and we have a lot of layoffs happening across the tech sector. That is right from Meta to EdTech. But despite that, we're also seeing a lot of companies actually boosting up their hiring plans, which Roshan and I will be covering in this week's roundup. So stay tuned. Roshan, this has been an interesting week. You have been traveling and, well, I'm still on the road and that's why we are doing this virtually. So how was the week for you?
This episode of the Startup Operator Podcast is brought to you by Park Avenue. The week has been great. It's a deja vu feeling sitting in front of screens and, talking to you on this roundup. This is the 90th roundup and, you know, I was kind of thinking, I mean, we're just about 10 roundups away from a grand century. And perhaps, I mean, the 100th roundup should be live, right, with some of our audience members and so on. But otherwise, I mean, this week on the infra side, I mean, there were a couple of things that I noticed. The second terminal of the Kempegowda International Airport in Bangalore has been inaugurated, and that is very good news. I'm really looking forward to, you know, using that terminal. Then the first Vande Bharat train on the Bangalore-Mysore-Chennai route has been inaugurated as well. So that's an interesting development. Also, on Saturday, I was at the PES University. They had organized a Shark Tank event. The entrepreneurship cell there is pretty active. So shout out to Deepika, Sampad, Mayank, Varun, and the rest of them who are ardent followers of the Startup Operator. It was really nice seeing students pitch these products and, you know, talk about valuations, revenue, profit margin, market, and so on and so forth. And in an engineering college at that, right? So it's pretty amazing. So that's been my week.
Well, talking about Indian colleges, right? Last week I was reading this report where there are about 5,490 startups founded by graduates of IITs. And compare that to the IIMs of the country, they've only produced 1,517 startups, and this is as of October 10th. So there's a huge disparity with the number of founders from Indian engineering colleges compared to that of the business schools. So do you have any thoughts as to why that might be the case?
I think it's a wider base, right? IITs have a wider base compared to IIMs, I would say, right? And also, I suppose after an IIM, you're less likely to take a risk than after your bachelor's, I suppose, right? I mean, you're younger when you graduate from your undergrad as compared to an IIM. So those are a couple of reasons I can think of. But otherwise, I mean, these statistics, I don't think one should read really too much into it, right? The good thing is, you know, entrepreneurship is aspirational to students, irrespective of what college they belong to.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely right. Some stats are just good as nuggets, but yeah, one probably shouldn't read too much into it. But okay, let's talk about the biggest news from last week. So last week, the world's second largest crypto trading platform went bust, right? This is FTX, and they were only second to Binance. And there has been close ties between Binance and FTX, given that Binance was an early investor. And right now, the entire crypto market is in chaos with a lot of articles doing the round. Roshan, can you kind of simplify exactly with what's going on, and should crypto investors be kind of worried at this point in time?
Well, it's such a ridiculous story. You know, I don't even know where to begin. It's a story of a lack of risk management, regulatory oversight, and just, I mean, I feel at times brazen fraud. Alameda Research was started by Sam Bankman-Fried, or SBF as he's known, in 2017. And they were trading cryptocurrencies and they were pretty good at it, right? I mean, Sam Bankman-Fried at one point of time was worth around $16 billion. Fortune called him the next Warren Buffett. And he started FTX, which is a cryptocurrency exchange, to enable others to trade about a couple of years after, right? And as most of these, crypto initiatives start, they released a coin called FTT, right? And they said that FTT holders will have preferential access on the cryptocurrency exchange. Now, if you think about it, historically in an exchange, customers' money cannot be reinvested, right? At least that's what is true in India. The US, I mean, the regulation varies, right? In India, if you're investing in Zerodha or Grow or Upstocks or whatever, without your explicit consent, they can't really reinvest on other assets and earn out of that, right? But slightly different in the US. But even so, I think even by US standards, you know, what FTX did was pretty, pretty egregious, right? FTX lent almost $10 billion worth of customer money to Alameda. And matters are, you know, very complicated considering that, you know, both of these organizations are related and there's a conflict of interest as well. Sometime back, CoinDesk released Alameda's assets. And what people noticed was that a significant asset was the FTTs that they held, right? So we'll pause on that. And here is when, you know, we'll have to talk about Changpeng Zhao, or CZ as he's known. He's the middle-aged Chinese owner of Binance, which is the largest cryptocurrency exchange. Reportedly, he was friends with SBF some time back and was an early investor. He owned about 10% of FTX. Then, you know, SBF and CZ had a falling out and, you know, he sold all what he held in FTX out in the market and he got paid in FTT coins, right? Now, just pause for a moment and analyze that one particular thing, right? Which is that your biggest competitor owns your coins and owns $2 billion worth of your coins, right? Now, when the CoinDesk news came out, CZ saw this and he basically said something to the effect of that it seems very shaky and that he was going to sell their coins, right? And this basically triggered a panic run and you had almost $6 billion worth of withdrawals. And at some point, FTX had to kind of raise their hand and say that, you know, there was no money that we can give back to our customers. So in essence, it's really, really sad. I would say really tragic. It's not an indictment of crypto. I often ask people to ignore the price action. I feel the fundamental technology is an invention of real magnitude importance, right? But all of this price action is just blinding people to what the real potential of crypto can be. Right. Of course, I mean, people are free to trade at their own risk. I would only say that use cold wallets, don't use exchanges, because especially in India, again, right, where the regulation is not really friendly, it's a huge risk. I'm really waiting for, you know, some of the tech use cases to develop. And in the meanwhile, I mean, I can only say that I hope the, you know, crypto community has some humility and has some restraint before they go out to change the world. I think it's important to understand, you know, what's come before. Right, and not use silly acronyms to retort to legitimate questions. Right, Bitcoin is down, Ethereum is down, plenty of folks are down. Right, and to say that hey, this is how capitalism works, I think that would be an oversimplification. This wasn't capitalism, this was downright fraud in parts. And yeah, good that you know the governments are not bailing out an exchange, right? But two wrongs don't make a right, right? I mean, you can't say that in the case of the financial crisis, all of these banks got bailed out by taxpayer money. Something similar is not happening at this point of time. So, you know, effectively, this is a better thing, right? But I don't think that's true. You know, crypto folks often sneer at regulation, but I think some kind of regulation is definitely required. And that is when people will be a lot more trusting of crypto as well, right? Yeah, there's plenty of takes on all of this. And, you know, you can go down the rabbit hole on various aspects of this. But there is one guy, Mark Cohodes, who's a pretty experienced trader. He tweets at a handle called at AlderLaneEggs. That's at AlderLaneEggs. Just check out his take on FTX. And, you know, he was bang on, right? He said this about a month back and, you know, it's absolutely interesting. So let's hope that things recover from this point on. And this is a moment of sort of self-introspection for folks in the crypto community.
Right. And also a couple of days back, SBF did mention on Twitter that they're entering into a quote-unquote strategic transaction with Binance, right? So essentially the game with Binance played is that they started a rumor or made a threat, however you want to put it. And then at the end of the day, ended up buying its biggest competitor overnight. But all of these things changed when on Wednesday night, Binance announced on Twitter that it was backing out of the FTX deal. It said, as a result of corporate due diligence, as well as the latest news reports regarding mishandled customer funds and alleged US investigations, we have decided that we will not pursue the potential acquisition of FTX. In the beginning, our hope was to be able to support FTX's customers to provide liquidity, but the issues are beyond our control or ability to help. Now, this is a major blow for FTX, which really needs money desperately. And of course, this statement is not going to make anything easy. So a lot of volatility coming in the crypto markets, I'd say, right?
Yeah, I mean, they've filed for bankruptcy, actually. And the behavior is pretty random, right? I mean, it's at some point, you know, you have to understand that these are, you know, 24, 25, 30-year-olds, like, playing around with billions of dollars of cash, right? I mean, it's a hard responsibility, and I'm not sure if some of these folks really, really take it seriously, you know. SBF had dominated something like $40 million, second only to George Soros, I think, to the Democrat Party. Now, I don't know what one can do in their own, you know, personal capacity is different, but really, you know, when you're managing this amount of cash, right, I mean, it calls for a lot of prudence, I feel. And somehow the way the whole media kind of lapped up this whole SBF story, right? I mean, it's nauseating, you know. There was one video of, you know, SBF, I think by Nas Daily or someone else, right? Where they kind of made him out to be like some new age Mahatma Gandhi slash Robin Hood slash Batman, right? I don't know. I mean, I just feel there needs to be better restraint on all sides. We would love for something new and exciting to succeed, but this just depletes trust is what I feel.
Well, I mean, this conversation is kind of getting grim a bit too quickly. And of course, with our listeners starting off a week, that is not how we would want them to start. But in more positive news rather, right? The Indian Space Research Organization is developing a low-cost reusable launch vehicle known as the ISRO Space RLV-TD. This is the first landing experiment for this launch vehicle, which is currently being prepared by ISRO. They will make its first runway landing experiment from the Space Test Range in Chitradurga district of Karnataka. Now, the concept of this is going to be very similar to how NASA tests its space shuttle, right? What ISRO will be doing is they'll be lifting up this RLV wing body to a height of 4 to 5 kilometers using a helicopter, a couple of kilometers away from the runway. And they will give it a horizontal velocity, kind of like a push, right? And after it is released from the helicopter, it will be just gliding down into the runway. Very similar to how the space shuttle would work. But what's very interesting and a key takeaway from this, if this actually succeeds, this will really bring down the cost of future space tourism prospects or even launching payloads up in the space. Currently, the price for launching 1 kilo of payload is I think close to $20,000. And of course, I mean, India has always been known for jugaad and finding the most cheapest and the most economical way to a problem. ISRO aims to bring down the cost of 20K to less than $5,000 per kg. Now, I think that's a massive, massive leap, and this is going to pay out quite a lot of dividends.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting, right? I mean, reusable rockets are a marvelous feat of engineering. And to that end, the RLV LEX or the reusable launch vehicle from ISRO will definitely be a fantastic milestone for the research organization, right? Now, the basic funda of the reusable rocket is that, you know, certain parts can be reused, right? Pretty self-explanatory. The smaller parts such as the rocket engines and the boosters and so on don't have to be built each time like in a typical multi-stage rocket, but these can actually be reused, right? But it's not so straightforward. There's a lot that we have to budget to make sure that we're able to recover these parts and also refurbish them, right? So there's also a lot of additional avionics, propellant, etc. that these parts need. They have to be equipped with heat shields, grid fins, and other flight control surfaces as well. And there needs to be specialized recovery facilities, you know, such as runways and autonomous spaceport drone ships and so on, right? I mean, so it's not so straightforward, but even so, the cost factor really works out. You know, we've all seen that amazing video of the Falcon 9 launch, right? And background to it as well, that Musk had staked everything on that one thing. So it's very interesting, really, really interesting. Right now, three companies are currently in development to achieve the fully reusable launch vehicle. So first is SpaceX. We talked about Falcon 9, which was reusable in the sense that only the first stage was reusable. Now they're working on a fully reusable sort of rocket, right? Which is the SpaceX Starship. It's been in development for the last 5-6 years. And I think sometime in 2022-23, they will test that out. Then you have Relativity Space with their Terran R rocket that began development in 2021. And it's supposed to launch by 2024. And then, of course, we have Jeff Bezos's Blue Origin with Project Jarvis, right? They began work in 2021, and they haven't really announced a date for testing as such, right? But these are, I mean, fantastic initiatives in terms of engineering and in terms of space exploration, I should say. This episode of the Startup Operator Podcast is brought to you by Park Avenue. Now that we're all back at the office meeting colleagues and clients, it's time to ditch those PJs and look sharp with Park Avenue's range of 100% cotton, wrinkle-free shirts. They're super easy to maintain and keep you looking fresh through the day. So my fellow startup operators, visit the Park Avenue store or myraymond.com and check out the new wrinkle-free shirt collection.
Well, yeah, and something which ISRO has really done well is that it has opened up its facilities to the private sector participation back in 2020. Right. And in 2021, Skyroot became the first space technology startup to ink an MOU with ISRO for sharing facilities and expertise. Skyroot also is on track to create history by becoming the first private space company in the country to launch a rocket into space. Very aptly named also it is. It's named Prarambh, which of course means the beginning in Sanskrit. This is a milestone moment for India's space tech sector. Skyroot has also successfully built and tested India's first privately developed cryogenic hypergolic liquid and solid fuel based rocket engines. And in a multiple ways, this launch will also be very significant because I think it will help validate 80% of the technologies in the Vikram series of orbital space launch vehicles, right? And Skyroot also has future plans of launching Vikram 1 rocket next year. So I think it's very good to see that this partnership building upon so well.
No, I think this is a fantastic initiative by ISRO to sort of help these space startups use their launch facilities and so on, right? In fact, the ISRO chairman itself has commended Skyroot. And Prarambh is a demonstration mission, right? It is basically aimed at setting the stage for the launch of Vikram 1 with customer payloads. And the mission will kind of validate plenty of things like the technology, the designs, and so on. And this will just prove the fact that they can launch heavy payloads into the low Earth orbit, right? At this point, the rocket will carry about 3 student-made payloads is what I hear, including one made by Space Kids India. But yeah, I mean, this is a fantastic development, I should say, right? I mean, private investment in space will only increase. And yeah, I mean, we definitely need corporate money coming into space, right? I mean, so far it's just funded by taxpayer money. And given the range of things that taxpayer money has to fund, right, we definitely could use some help. Yeah, but Skyroot, founded by IIT Kharagpur, IIT Madras alumnus, they've raised, I think, around $17 million so far, right, from the likes of Balaji Srinivasan, Nitin Kamath, Mukesh Bansal, and so on. This is amazing. I think the cost of payload to be launched in space, right, I mean, further it comes down, the better for humanity, I feel, right, because there are wide-varying applications that, we can use these for, whether it's for remote communication, broadband, scientific research, agriculture, so on and so forth, right? I mean, there are a lot of real use cases that can develop. So, yeah, this is like a milestone event, I would say.
Well, talking about milestone moments, Pocket FM, which operates an eponymous audio show platform, recorded more than $25 million ARR, or annualized revenue run rate, as of October 2022. And along with that, they're also planning to enter the US markets. Their revenue has grown 10x to $25 million ARR in just 12 months. At this rate, they should be able to achieve at least $100 million in revenue by September of 2024 if this remains constant. Now, of course, Roshan, you have spoken in the past that how India is not a DAO market anymore, it's an ARPU market. And now we are having this news of Pocket FM crossing $25 million in ARR. So, I mean, that just kind of strengthens the comments you made earlier.
Yeah, I've, long believed that, we definitely underestimate the spending potential of, the Indian user, right? I think the earlier funda of India being just a DAO market is soon changing, look at Pocket FM, look at, Cuckoo FM, look at Stage, Pratilipi. And if you follow all of their monetization journeys, I mean, they've been able to do fantastically well. And this is for something like content and entertainment content, which, people think is entirely discretionary, right? Pocket FM has done phenomenally well. They have 50 million plus users. Audio content is really growing. They offer local language content in terms of storybooks. Some of the themes are self-help. crime, horror, romance, and so on. You know, I was reading an interview of the founder, Nishant, and he basically said there's a 12x growth in consumption of self-help books, right, and audio courses, which is pretty amazing, right? And they're targeting 5 million paying users in the next year or so. They have 3+ billion, monthly listening minutes. And this is as of early this year, right? There's a lot to be happy about in terms of Pocket FM, right? Because they're kind of validating that, you know, the Indian tier 2, tier 3 user can pay for value, you know. Definitely follow the monetization journeys of these different companies. We've had Vinay of Stage, we've had, Bisu of Cuckoo FM, we've had Jani of Local, Farid of Share Chat on the podcast. Go check out all these episodes. You know, they're building for Bharat, and Bharat does pay for value.
All right. So until last week, we have been talking about how this entire layoffs has been happening mostly in Indian companies, right? And of course, even for Twitter, it was the Indian operations that was highly affected. But last week, even Facebook's parent company, Meta, said that it is laying off close to 11,000 employees, which is marking the most significant job cuts in the tech giant's history. Now, these job cuts come as Meta confronts a range of challenges to its core businesses and makes an uncertain and costly bet on pivoting to the metaverse. They have identified certain high priority growth areas of focus, which includes AI discovery engine, ads on the Meta platforms, business platforms, and of course, the long-term vision for metaverse. But again, Facebook is not the only tech giant, right? And after Twitter and Meta, even Amazon is looking to lay off its employees in units that have failed to turn a profit this year. And closer home, in the third round of layoffs at an academy in a year, 350 people lost their jobs. Earlier in June, I think, after a performance improvement plan, the company had fired 150 employees, and that tech company had also sacked 1,000 contractual and full-time workers in April too. 300 educators were laid off, with the rest from business, sales, and other fields. But something about Unacademy, right, is that Mr. Munjal had promised in July not to terminate the employment of any further staff members. But again, on the other hand, he has since issued an apology for the change of mind. Now, this only kind of highlights that while founders may not definitely want to let go of their employees, but they just got to strike some business balance, right? And because of that, they have to make this hard decision of letting their team members go. Roshan, I mean, can you shed some more light as to what that could be like?
Yeah, it's, it's really hard. Anyone who has sort of let go of people they've hired will tell you that it's one of the most difficult decisions to make. But then you have to be prudent about your business. And if the business has to survive and move on, you know, these hard decisions have to be made sooner than later, right? The only hope is that, you know, they're made in a more humane way, and that, you know, people are treated nicely, right? The Unacademy folks, I mean, they will receive severance equal to the notice period, and an additional 2 months' salary is what, Gaurav has said. And aside, I mean, there's some talk of, medical insurance being paid out for a certain period of time, being valid for a certain period of time, right? Now, this is in stark contrast to, for instance, some other firms, right? Like Brainly, for example, apparently has laid off their entire India team with not so much of a notice and no severance and so on. Again, I mean, these are, you know, things that I've heard from people within the organization quite anonymously, right? And if you look at Gaurav's statement, what he's basically said is, you know, funding has significantly slowed down. And also along with that, a large portion of their core business has moved offline. Now, this is a double whammy, right? And it's something that's affected the entire industry in some sense. Byju's has laid off, 2,500 employees or more, right? Vedantu has laid off 700 employees. And these will continue, sadly, for the time being. Because I think also the customer acquisition costs in these business had gone up like crazy, right? 2021, these folks were spending a ton of money on customer acquisition. You know, I mean, it wasn't sustainable then. It's certainly not sustainable now. So, yeah, I mean, I really wish the folks who are let go all the best. When you look at a career of 20, 30, 40 years, there are, you know, two or three moments like this that kind of happen, right? I mean, I would say just take it in perspective and figure things out, right? Hopefully it's, something that you look back on as a learning and a growing moment in your career.
Well, yes. But again, it's not all doom and gloom this week. There are a couple of companies that have actually announced expansion plans. For example, Upgrad has embarked on an offline expansion spree where the company will be investing close to $30 million to open 10 campuses next year under its new UGDX brand. Under this, Upgrad will open 3 campuses in the US. The San Francisco unit goes live as early as January. In India, there'll be 5 campuses. They'll be in Delhi and Chennai, and one each in Singapore and Middle East. Now, the plan is to recruit specialized faculty, which also includes 1,000 PhD scholars across these geographies. And apart from Upgrad, we have Zoho that could hire more than 1,000 employees over the next 1 year, even as large tech companies around the world are letting their employees go. Zoho also announced that it has crossed the milestone of $1 billion in revenue last year. I think that's really huge. And a majority of this revenue has come from India, with a CAGR of 65% over the last 5 years. And India also is, of course, one of its top 3 markets. So yeah, not all doom and gloom. There's still hiring going on, while, of course, some companies are really severely affected. What do you make of this? Why do you think there is such an imbalance?
Yeah, see, now is when, you know, the wheat will get separated from the chaff, right? The companies that are fundamentally sound, that are well capitalized, you know, will emerge out of the 23-24 period really, really strong, right? Zoho is a stalwart, right? I mean, Sridhar Vembusar has been inspiring everyone to sort of, you know, be frugal and sort of bootstrap their journey as much as possible, right? Unlike, you know, some of the other sort of SaaS companies that are more reliant on VC money and so on, Zoho is generating real revenues, right? $1 billion of ARR, that is truly an astounding achievement, I should say. And I wish them all the very best, you know, because now is a great time to hire good talent. Right. So Zoho is building out all of this IP out of India. Right. So which is, again, fantastic. Upgrad is definitely interesting. You know, I think, I was having this conversation with someone this week that the university education, right? I mean, especially in a few of these streams, whether it's the social sciences and so on, has completely broken down. You know, the tuition costs are sky high, the employment opportunities are not really there. So I think the way forward is some kind of a hybrid integrated learning model, right? The kinds that Upgrad or Scalar and so on are building. I really like the fact that, you know, Upgrad is looking at some of these other sort of courses like machine learning and so on, right? I mean, I think it's a natural extension for them. That should be very interesting as well.
So for Talk of Town this week, there's this tweet by Jason Lemkin, which very aptly summarizes with the last two topics that we spoke about, right? And the tweet reads, "Right now, tons of folks are scrutinizing their SaaS spend for the first time since 2016. They are keeping everything they need with little drama and cutting everything they don't. Radically different impact on different SaaS vendors." Right? I mean, this summarizes because on one side, we are having companies that are laying off hundreds of their employees. And on the other end, we have some startups and even public companies that are expanding their hiring plans. So what's your take on that?
No, I think this is a very relevant tweet and something that, you know, every SaaS company should actively think of, right? Which is that, am I really integral to my customer? And if not, I mean, you know, I should be scrambling. I should definitely figure out a way to become either a system of work or some kind of a revenue generating thing for my customer, right? Because otherwise I'm totally replaceable for sure. Literally everyone is looking at all of the line items in their budget and thinking about, you know, what they can do without. Budgets have been cut, 50, 60, 70%. And so if you're not imperative to a company, then, you know, your days are numbered. Also, this is a good time to sort of battle test your hypothesis as well, right? And figure out, you know, what is the deeper problem that you could solve for an organization. So overall, I think, you know, what doesn't kill you make you stronger, I suppose.
Well, yeah, that's true. And also, so in that thread, right, Jason also adds that the best startups, though, have been able to pivot, not so much their product, but to truly selling the ROI of their product. Quote unquote, ROI went a bit out of fashion the past few years. Products that simply aided efficiency, especially in sales, met the bar. Now you have to prove ROI. So I think that also kind of makes sense, at least from a perspective of startups justifying their expenses and slowdown to their investors.
Yeah. No, I think that's absolutely right. You know, if you were offering some form of convenience, some form of efficiency, productivity, I mean, it's time for you to sort of quantify these metrics, right? And they better be impactful enough, right? I mean, shaving off 10, 20% isn't good enough at this point of time. So yeah, I mean, this is also a good chance to sort of revisit the product positioning as well and figure out, you know, what is it that you can help organizations with, right? I mean, if you are, you know, for instance, helping with SDR utilization, right? Or your sales capacity utilization, let's say, right? I mean, making that very real in terms of what it means in terms of monies, right? That would be helpful. That would be helpful than simply say that, hey, you cut 20 or 30% off the cost and so on, right? Because people are comparing dollar to dollar right now and figuring out what budget is fungible, right? And what they can do without. So yeah, that's very, very relevant.
Yeah, talk about keeping things interesting, right? A lot of things happening. So Roshan, who are you talking to this week?
This week, I don't have any conversations lined up at this point of time, but I will be talking to Dr. Marcus Rani of the Human Edge. He is a medical doctor who has studied athletes in extreme physical conditions, like for example, while climbing the Everest or at a desert or, Ironman marathoners and so on, right? And he talks about, you know, how you can sort of biohack and, very tangibly impact your wellness and health span as well. Considering that I am sort of passionate about these topics, I mean, I would love to talk to him about how all of us can become healthier and happier. There's also Apremeya, who's the former founder of Taxi for Sure, sold to Ola for about a couple of hundred million, I think. And he's now the founder of Koo, which is the native equivalent of Twitter. So I will be talking to him and it'll be an in-person conversation. So that's something that I'm really looking forward to as well. He's also a pretty prolific angel investor. So I'd love to get his thoughts on, you know, how the market is right now and what founders should do. So yeah, I mean, these are a couple of conversations that are coming up aside from some of the others that, will soon get confirmed.
Awesome. So folks, I mean, if you want to know who we are talking to next, and if you have any sort of questions that you would want to ask our founders, investors and operators we do have on the podcast, do let us know through our social channels. Twitter handle is @OperatorStartup and on LinkedIn, we are the Startup Operator. And of course, in the comment section below, you can add your questions there as well. We will try to respond to as many of them as possible. Apart from that, in the description, you'll find a WhatsApp link through which you can get updates delivered straight into your WhatsApp inbox. Again, just a friendly reminder, please do rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform so that more people like you can discover our content. And yeah, I think that's it for this week. I will be back with more exciting news. All right, Roshan, thanks a lot. Folks, have a great week. We'll see you again next weekend.